My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is. Yeah.
What's up? I'm Laura Currenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back to Adlandia. Post-can.
Post-can.
We're canning it up.
We are back and having a very candid can discussion with a number of people who were out in the south of France. First up, we're going to have three delegates who are part of HP's More Like Me initiative, who are going to talk about diversity in the industry and what their experience was like going through a program that highlighted the work, that highlighted important conversations around diversity, and just overall what their thoughts and experiences were as first-time young people who got the experience of a lifetime.
And then second up, we have one of our faves and consultant of all consultants, Lindsay Slaby from Sunday Dinner, coming in, talking about this really just amazingly clear-headed article that she wrote about, has the, you know, agency model been kind of sitting under our noses the whole time? So we're excited to have Lindsay on and get her thoughts and her take on kind of the B side of CAN that I think we're hoping is going to turn into the A side of CAN moving forward. With that,
we'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure,
I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you, here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. We're back. And we've got three young guns and representing the coolest peeps and the peeps you should know at Cannes.
Welcome to the studio, David Jacobson.
Hi.
Joshua Noah, who is calling in all the way from California.
Thanks for getting up early, Josh.
Of course. Good morning.
And Janina Lagamandone.
All right. Some that? Spice at the end.
Oh,
yeah, I like
some
it.
Spice at the end.
So you guys were a part of the HP More Like Me program at Cannes. Tell us about it.
So the program is an initiative by HP to challenge their AOR agencies to focus on diversity. That includes gender, ethnic, just diversity overall. I think there's some pretty staggering stacks of like the way that, you know, we sort of like to call it sort of Cannes so white. And getting more folks not only to Cannes, but providing mentorship throughout the year in terms of how we as diverse people, people of color, relate, can integrate and move through the space of advertising.
And so, Josh, tell us a little bit about the people that you met. What were the skill sets of sort of your More Like Me cohort? And what was sort of some of the itinerary that you went through?
Yeah, so it ran the gamut. It was actually like just a collective of some of the brightest people that I've ever had the chance of working with. But you get copywriters, you get designers, you have strategists, you have account personnel. So it was truly just it ran the gamut, and everyone with such a diverse and distinct background, not only like ethnically and with their lineage, but also within the industry. And so that was really cool.
So one of the things that made the program very powerful was exactly the way that they did programming. So they focused on a lot of like front end and back end programming. So we would go to a panel But at the same time, we also had an opportunity to go to the judging rooms behind the scenes and be able to see the process of how people win a Cannes Lion. We got very close to the work and were able to not only meet with people that were, you know, let's say like a creative director from BBDO, but at the same time, like the program coordinator for Cannes, who was like telling us the rules and how the program would work. And their efforts to make the program more international and have a higher reach overall.
One of my favorite things was a speed mentoring round that Cannes Lions and HP set up for us. It happened at the Girls Lounge. We got to meet three different mentors from all over the place, really, and got to talk about what we envision for our careers, what we're struggling with, just kind of what we're thinking about and what we want to prioritize in our careers. And I think that for diverse talent, those questions manifest themselves in very particular ways. So to be able to bring them up in that setting with kind of full trust, confidence, and support was a super important part of the program.
Were there things that surprised you? Obviously, you were all first-time delegates, so to speak, to what is the biggest creative festival in the world.
I would like to see like a lot more initiative to sort of bring younger groups in as far as like an education in a similar sense that we were brought in, and just more so like what we can learn and sort of bring back. I don't think necessarily it's sort of like movers and shakers of the industry, but definitely as a spot of education, really.
I think it's all about recognizing that there is always another seat at the table, and that doesn't involve kicking someone off the table or knocking someone off the podium. It's just about inviting more people onto the stage, different people onto the stage, people who otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity to step onto the stage. So it just really made me realize that this paradigm of the, like, mad men should absolutely be replaced by, like, really truly mad women and really truly like maddened people of color that are now beginning to channel their frustration into something that can manifest itself in progress and optimism and that can permeate, you know, not only the diverse community at Cannes, which is very little, but beyond that. And
Totally. That's
just extremely important.
There is a business objective on the other side of this, which is that more diverse work is going to result in better work with a very changing population. So if we're going to talk to an audience, we have to start talking to an audience that is reflected back from the work.
So Josh, where do you guys go from here? Where does HP go from here? What do they do with all of this? Like, they've rallied a community with you guys. They've made a statement and a stand. Now what?
Right. So, yeah, the attending Cannes was just the beginning. It sort of just incited the fire. But we are still very much a cohort. Our group chat is very much alive and well. But beyond that, we're going to be sort of holding these events with the agencies throughout the year and really bringing the messaging and all the information that we sort of brought in from Cannes and spreading that out not only to our agencies, but very hopefully beyond that as well.
I actually think that in one of Antonio Lucio's panels, he had Tandy Newton of Westworld and TED Talk fame attend, and she said something that really stuck with me, and this is a pretty direct quote, that we can be in a position where we can use our craft to break down the walls of ignorance. And I've taken that little kernel and kind of challenged myself with it to understand how, now that I'm back home, now that I'm kind of severed from that powerhouse of 18 champions of diversity, how I can begin to see my everyday work as something that is done in an effort to support this higher order ambition of diversity.
Taking a step back for a sec on that, I think one of the best talking about the work experiences in Cannes was the fact that I think it's very easy to get cynical about our industry. And quite honestly, this was like the muscles of creativity to be sitting during these award shows and just see great idea after great idea is very refreshing. And I think gives us a lot of life as advertisers. There were two particular things that really touched me, I would say. One of them was a great project put forth by BBDO called Prescribed to Death. And it was a traveling memorial wall where I think it was every 3 minutes, a victim of opiate overdose, their face was 3D printed onto a pill and sort of displayed as these large scale mosaics, which I think is a great, stunning way of stunning in a sort of like negative context of showing and through an experiential point of view how deep this epidemic resonates in culture. And another one through a similar vein was with Saatchi, and it was a campaign called Law Syndrome, where they were basically raising awareness on Americans with Down syndrome who have to pick between having a career or, you know, going on disability and Medicaid. And they did this pop-up restaurant in D.C. where the entire wait staff and everybody on staff was had Down syndrome. And then they invited lawmakers to this restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, they were presented with the bill to sign that bill.
Wow.
Super powerful work. And this is the sort of stuff that our industry, at the level of internationalism of CAN, that's the type of work we should be concentrating on.
That's work that's getting into public sector, that's getting into legislation, that's getting, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's the work that you're saying was the most resonant work.
Absolutely.
Is work that's actually getting into our lives.
Right. And I mean, from a more like from a higher sort of like caliber standpoint for the industry overall, like I think definitely we're moving more and more away from film. I mean, the things that we're winning outside of the pro bono work were things like KFC's like 11 Spices. Like people are focusing more on brand experiences, on very nimble social. And those are the things that are resonating with consumers, not like traditional powerhouse film.
All the work that goes on the walls at Cannes, all the work that wins Lions is a commentary on what our industry is, does, and believes in, and
that's a great
in what direction it is moving. And it goes back to Antonio Lucio's whole intent for HP's More Like Me, which is to change the totality, as he says, of the industry internally on the client side, in the agencies that are developing the ideas, and in the production houses that are bringing those ideas to life in the event that it's film. So it really is about like looking at every single piece of a brand, of a campaign, of a brand message and belief, and making sure that every single person who touches that brand and champions that belief actually subscribes to it.
Yeah, that's
absolutely. I think it was Edelman who published that about 57% of consumers will boycott a brand that doesn't share their or social or sort of political beliefs. So I think it's more important than ever to really make sure that our brands are being as transparent and progressive as their consumers.
So guys, we play this little game at the end of our show called Kill by DIY.
Okay,
okay. Janina.
Okay, I would kill the imposter syndrome.
What would you buy?
I would buy Joshua Kissi's Tonal. It's stock photography that has diverse representation.
And what would you do yourself?
I would revive print. I won't give away my secrets.
Print advertising?
Print as a medium. Okay. So like print media,
yeah.
Broadly speaking, beyond advertising, but including advertising. I would revive print.
Okay. Josh, what would you kill?
Kill, I think, especially coming off of the heels of this conversation, would be...
6 a.m. calls. You can say it. Go ahead. Sorry, Josh.
No,
go ahead.
More of those. Bye. I'd kill having to explain the case for diversity. I think that was something that sort of really struck out to me, was the idea that we're still having to explain why it's important and why it's effective. And I mean, I'll still do it like till the ends of the earth until we sort of get to the place where we need to be. But I feel like at this point, come on, guys, we know why it's effective. We know it's a good thing. And we know it's reflective.
What would you buy?
I was actually going to say more rosé, funny enough. I was like, wow, I'm sort of in a severe lack of rosé coming off of that weekend. So I'm stocking up on some bottles.
Okay. And Magnum. What would you do yourself?
Magnum, exactly. What would I do myself? I would go back to Cannes, actually. I would I think obviously this is an opportunity that was afforded to me through the generous and sort of really progressive mindset of the people at HP. But I would do it all over again, even if it was on my own dollar. I think it was a phenomenal experience that I would love to do again.
Awesome. Okay, David, you're up.
It's my turn. I would kill the docked yacht. That was something that was very surprising for me at Cannes, that we were actually never on a yacht that wasn't on a dock. Like, it was like I kind of wanted to go in the middle of the French Riviera. I wanted the yacht to move. And it was just like, I just don't understand it. I was just like, so for everyone at Cannes, like, we need more like cruising parties, I suppose. Just because
it's probably
it was
a liability.
Probably. But yeah, just like move the yacht. Move that yacht. That's my two cents for Cannes. I would buy, I'm going to have to go with rosé, because it was like, I'm typically not a rosé drinker. So I'm going to go, with Josh on that one. And it was just like, I think I got a good mentoring of rosé, at Cannes. And what would I, do myself? I want to judge some stuff in Cannes. That's what I would do myself. Like, a lot, we went into the judging room and we definitely see, and I think it makes sense that, like, very, very, like, high-level, like, creatives are the people who are doing this. But in terms of remaining, like, culturally relevant, like, I know that a lot of people, like, for example, when I was in college, I was on the GLBT, like, President's Commission, and they had, like, like, heads of departments and everything, but they always had, like, a student ambassador to sort of, like, level set the committee. So thinking if there's, like, young lions that are going in to the judging room with some of the folks could just help sort of, like, level check, like, what is actually culturally relevant or not. So, yeah, that's what I would do myself. I would judge Cannes.
Love that.
Well, thank you guys for coming by. Appreciate it.
Thank you. A lot of fun.
We will see you back in the French Riviera, hopefully, in 2019.
Josh, go to sleep.
I'm up.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
So as we continue our candid can discussion, say that 10 times fast, we have a guest who visited us on, as she likes to tell everybody, the second episode of Atlandia. Lindsay Slaby, the founder of Sunday Dinner, is back in the studio. What's up, Lindsay?
Hello.
Hi, Linz. On the heels, like truly on the heels of Cannes, Lindsay wrote, I think, one of the most clear-headed posts, pieces, articles, whatever you want to call it, about the agency model. And you have been amazingly vocal in the industry and built your business, frankly, on there's a different way, right? Different way for agencies to think about themselves, a different way for brands and clients to staff their talent, right? So can you talk a little bit about the article, what you saw and what you're talking about in your piece?
Sure. I think, yes, I wrote it immediately. You can go to Cannes on several different tracks, right? Like, it's all about planning the way you're going to show up. So you can go and party and be on yachts. It's a minute to forget about everything that's going on around you and turn a blind eye. You can go to the Palais and sit and listen and be inspired. That's a great track. I did that a few years ago. You can set up meetings with MediaLink and it's nonstop and you're just kind of having pitch mode. Or you can just kind of like go observe, see people you haven't seen in a while, catch up and try to take a minute to be like, what's really going on in this industry? And that's the path I took. And I think a lot of people that I sort of tried to highlight in that article. And it really was a different side of what's happening in our industry. On the one side, where I think a lot of the yacht boating was happening, was a lot of holding company agencies, slightly that conversation tone around doom and gloom, which frankly, like, I don't really feel and I don't necessarily want to be a part of it. And I think there is this new group of people. Important thing to note, based on what you guys just talked about too, is that doesn't mean younger. It just means there's a next generation of people thinking about marketing and brand building and advertising in a new way. And it's full of optimism and it's full of getting stuff done. And it's full of saying, like, the problem isn't the solution for the problem isn't just going to one resource. There's a million different ways that we as people get things done in our lives through different programs, technologies. Why isn't this the way that we're approaching solving some of the world's most complex brand and business challenges? And that's about thinking about it in a different way. And there's a lot of people doing it, and they were at Cannes, and they were having great conversations. And I felt super inspired by that and felt like it's not being talked about enough. And in a lot of ways, because those people doing that are humble, and that's amazing. But we need to talk about it because our industry needs to feel it, and we need to bring people in and feel optimistic about what working in this industry can really be.
You talked about two things in that article, Lindsay, and this is the thing that I wanted to call Alex on an ungodly hour, was the people that are on the sideline is where the actual real conversations are happening, which is what this show was built on.
Yeah.
Yes. And like, when you galvanize that and you understand the power of what's happening around the water cooler, you start to realize collaboration over competition. And that doesn't mean get your ass kicked on your bottom line. What it means is learn how to partner with people in a unique way that's going to add value, 1 + 1 = 3, to the larger ad industry.
Sunday dinner is all about curating the right people at the table, physically, metaphorically. And I think that, right, it's about curating the right people at the table for your brand, curating the right people at the table for partnerships. As you, as a consultant, there is a power in knowing who and asking the question of who should be at this table, who can actually not answer the question the way I would answer the question. I think that is
diversity
one of the
thought,
right.
Yeah.
It's really who's going to bring it that different perspective, but also understand the kind of greater goal. What you guys are talking about is like a huge change in the ethos of this industry and the way mentorship, right, has been thought of, the way coaching is thought of, the way competitors are thought of, right? Even competitive agencies, but even competitive brands. And I think it issues in this huge thing that we've been talking about for so long, which is hybridizing IP, right? And that can happen with people.
And the things you just said, Alexa, about mentorship, coaching, et cetera, this is an industry that does everything linearly. So coaching
and
mentorship
down.
Right, means it needs to be somebody from the last generation mentoring the next generation.
That's right.
What Lindsay and I saw and what we were messaging you about at Cannes was peer-to-peer mentorship. It was peer-to-peer mentorship.
That's right.
And it was from different disciplines, different skill sets, different industries to say, I'm seeing this thing over here. Maybe this can help you over there.
Yeah, that's right.
And the thing that, and I will say, what we witnessed on the sidelines was there was no pay to play. So then authenticity
has to shine through.
Shine through.
It's the only thing.
It's the thing. But one of the things that was exciting about, you know, sitting at a dinner table 10 times over at Cannes with this group of people, nobody was on their phone.
No.
The conversation didn't stop. There was so much. If I could bottle that energy and sell it on Adlandia.com.
And there's tension in the discussion too, which is really important. So everyone always talks about, you can collaborate, you can bring a lot of people around the table, they're diverse. But as you were just talking about, Alexa, when we all sit and have ideas and we're trying to crack something together, you have to have that chemistry with the right people. You have to have tension.
Right.
You have to push on each other's ideas. And that means you've got to figure out you respect the people at that table
and
you trust them. And there's this camaraderie and friendship that's really important to get to great ideas. And it's making the model work, right? Yep. I also think one thing really important with, as we're just going to kind of talk about this table that we had of everyone, all the work that we put on a pedestal, and I think agencies and brands put on a pedestal, came from people at that table. It's JetBlue and Infatuation doing something that's amazing. It's, just going back to it, it's Jen from Away's pop-up in Paris that she did as a hotel that had a ton of amazing brand partners and served for a need. Those are the types of things everybody wants to figure out how to create, because your brand is your experience, right? And it's your product. And I think it's really important to understand that these companies have actually built products, right? So they understand the life cycle of what it takes to come up with the marketing, but also what it takes to implement and deliver and customer service and brand experience. Bringing that type of mindset to the table to help crack a brief for you or think about a marketing solution is magic, because they really understand listening, data, customers, etc. Things that, to be frank, I think a lot of people on the agency side are craving to
they're craving
to have access to that, but it's not the role of an agency today. So they're leaving and they're working for DTC brands, they're working inside brands because they crave knowing what really happens when you connect the dots between what I'm doing upper funnel all the way through. And that education and that role of agencies just hasn't been there. And so we're all looking for different things to fulfill us as creatives or people who came from agencies, as well as who we bring in, I think, to help us crack briefs.
I also think, so when you guys were talking, one of the things that Laura and I have been really focused on is we want to bring together like-minded people. So how do you work with people and team with people and talk to people and get that good out of them? Instead of spending time trying to figure out how to avoid a competitor, how to be the best among the pack. That's not what this is about.
That's right.
Right? Yeah.
I think it's important to say, okay, so we, you know, this article and what we're talking about is bringing amazing people together to think about ideas. So how do you operationalize that? It's important to think about, right? So if you are a lead agency working on business for a client and you keeping that relationship and you want to do this, find, you know, open up the door, open up slush funds, work on your contract, find ways to bring in the right people early on so you can have inspiration sessions, think tanks, look outside of your holding company, look to different partners, look to brands, look to some of the people on that list, bring them in and have them participate with you and make sure that that's a part of how your scope is working. Or if you're looking to crack a challenge or your brand that's just ready to pivot and you need bright minds around the table, then potentially it's not about going to one place and hiring. Potentially it is about getting sort of this think tank like model to work for you in a new way. Get off site, you know, spend a little money to put the brightest minds on your business and amazing things will come from it. And I think the crux is always who's orchestrating that. So obviously, yes, like that's what we do, but that's what a lot of people do. And you need to have that person that can get trust from those teams, because putting together these piecemeal teams is hard because it's a lot of great minds, a lot of type A people, a lot of smart thinkers, but you need someone who can figure out how to really, like, from a hospitality standpoint, almost like lead that conversation and bring the people together and extract the right things from them.
I love you saying hospitality.
I know.
It's like, no, concierge, it's like hospitality of ideas, hospitality for talent. I mean, fuck, is that the new HR?
That's
such an amazing way of saying it.
As you're saying that, I was thinking how the chief operation officer can really afford a counterpart and a chief orchestration officer. You know,
yeah,
it's
I've
a
been
different
saying
skill
that
set.
For a while. And I think chief orchestration, I mean, you think of large companies we all work with who have so many silos. And sometimes as the consultant, like, you know more about what's happening and connecting the dots
That's
than
right.
people who actually
inside,
work
yeah.
there. Making sure, you know, work now needs to be so much more connected, less siloed, more, you know, enterprise focused. And you need people walking around the company as secret ops, whether they are, you know, right? Like putting the pieces together.
Yeah.
That is important.
Two of the things that I think in these leaders that you see is very prominent in terms of attributes. One is that they believe in the brand. I'm not just talking about people on the brand side. I'm talking about people on the agency side. I'm talking about people on the consulting side. Like, they are genuinely passionate about the work that they're doing. This is not a job. There's no distinction between work and play. This is a fully integrated belief system, right? And then the other side is they're a practitioner. Mm-hmm. They're doers in and as much as they are leaders.
Yes.
So there's a reason they can get ingrained and have the conversations and, you know, be able to talk to others at the table and field ideas is because they're not sitting at the top and delegating and taking talking points and briefing. They're living and breathing the thing.
I think you defined leadership, that is next gen leadership. And that could be at any age and has any look and any face and anything.
That's right.
But it's about the people who are not just can sense who can get it done. They're the ones who are actually in it doing it as well and leading. Why have we made management actually
removed
depart
from
and
doing,
get detached from the work, which is the biggest problem. And you see it. You see it, actually. There's so many leaders who say, I used to love when I did the work.
Especially on the agency side.
And
it's incredible.
You're like, why? Well, why aren't you doing the fucking work anymore? Well, now I have to manage.
Peter principle.
Right. Totally.
Peter principle. My mom always tells me that. I think, Laura, like, it's, I get called out a lot sometimes where people look at me and they're like, are you working for that company now? Because I say we. So every time I'm talking about a client I'm working with and I talk to you, I say we, because I'm a part of it. Like,
so what was the reaction? I mean, there were tons of comments that were pouring in. Some of you were screenshotting last night saying this isn't a new novel concept. For whatever reason, this industry just forgot. This isn't about reimagining. It's about remembering.
Right.
And I thought that was
really
poignant.
Really good.
Yeah. I mean, It actually took me back too. I've been running this company for 5 years. This is where I started. When you get embedded in companies, your role shifts. I'm a fixer, right? In my life as well as at work. So I'm constantly moving in different directions. And for me, it was an aha moment to see all this and be like, oh, I'm going to go back to it. Like in the fall, this is what we're doing. Let's operationalize this. Let's get moving with this model more and kind of continue to prove it out. It's the optimism story. It's just the press is constantly talking about doom and gloom and what's going on with money and everyone's fleeing the industry. It's like, okay, great. Who's fixing it? What are we doing about it? And I think that that was really the rallying cry that a lot of people responded to and wanted to feel that energy. Like, we're proud. Like, we all work on creative ideas. You know, that's a precious thing to get to create. And we're proud of the work that we do. Yeah. And Cannes was about celebrating it, right? Which I feel like that I go to Cannes, right? I'm not anti-awards. I'm not anti-big agencies or anything like that. Like, I feel like we all should celebrate the work. But the work is changing. And there needs to be acknowledgement, I think, for what that is and how we're all working together in a positive, optimistic way.
It's amazing to see how words like creative media and context and culture and collaboration over competition have shown up tenfold in my Twitter feed since Cannes. And if that is the one thing I know collectively sitting at this table, we leave as an impression in the industry, I think our work is done. Yeah. But luckily, I know we'll be back in 2 weeks. So
Linz, what would you kill? What would you buy? What would you do yourself? We're going to make you run through the game again.
Kill. I would kill the current conference format. Yep. I've been to a lot of conferences this year.
Oh, yes.
Come on. People just talking on stage.
I think we're going to make it.
I want to network. I want to collaborate. Right, I want to do what we did at Cannes. I want that to happen because that's meaningful. You couldn't pay to get into the table that Giant Spoon and Vice put together. And that was the conference to me. That was the magic, right? Okay, so I'd kill that. Laura's really excited. Buy. I have two things I would buy. Is that okay?
Okay.
I would buy Dirty Lemon. I'm obsessed with it. I talk about
it a lot.
You're
so funny. What is Dirty Lemon?
It's a really expensive, special kind of water that's infused with things like rose and collagen and energy. But what's magic about it is the way that you buy it, the text messaging platform that they have created. So it's the format in which you buy the product. And they recently just acquired Dexter from BetaWorks, which also is like Poncho, if you guys...
Yeah, I worked with Poncho, yeah.
Right. So they bought that. And I think that's, again, product realizing how consumers want to purchase from them. And a lot of brands are trying to figure that out. And I would buy Dirty Lemon. I would also buy Dojo Mojo. People probably don't know what
What's
that is.
Dojo Mojo?
Yes. It's a way for brands to all log in, basically, to a lot of like direct-to-consumer brands and publishers to strike up partnerships by talking to each other and building audience together to do campaigns and email development lists and social platforms together. It's all self-service for
who
brand partnerships.
That?
The guys from Wine Awesomeness actually founded it, who is a millennial wine company who realized the power in email marketing and building lists and partnerships as the new way of marketing. Mm. It's awesome. What's the next one?
What would you do yourself?
What would you do yourself?
Oh, well, I would make everything we're talking about right now happen more and more and more. And I have been working on that, but I think that we need more of it. And I'm going to put my mind to it more for the rest of the year as well.
Lindsay Slaby, thank you.
Thanks for dropping by.
Thanks, guys.
All right, big thanks to our producer.
Dana, killing it in the studio today.
Matt Turk, Andy Bowers, Jacob Weisberg, all of our friends and family at Panoply in Adlandia.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. Enjoy this one over again. Full disclosure, our opinions are our own.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.